Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
Invite you to turn to your gospel lesson in John chapter 20 verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and found that the stone hadn't been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And she told them, "They've taken my Lord out of the tomb and I don't know where they've left him or where they put him." So Simon Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple ran ahead of Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent over and looked inside and saw the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Peter, who was behind him, arrived, and he went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there along with the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. Then he saw the cloth folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Then the disciple who had arrived at the tomb first went inside. He saw and believed, but they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stayed outside the tomb crying. Weeping, she bent over and looked at the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize it was Jesus. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him." Jesus answered her, "Mary." Then he told her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to my Father. Go instead and tell my brothers that I go to my brothers and tell them that I am going to return to my Father and your Father, and your God and my God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the good news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that Jesus had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We say that because of the truth of the gospel, the truth of the resurrection. And it's also something that reminds me today that what we see and what's going on around us, it's not going to stay that way. And so it is that we have that thought today. It's not going to stay that way. It can't stay that way. Being here in this room on Easter Sunday without all of you, let me just put it this way, I don't want to do this again. It's not as meaningful or as meaningful and as much fun, frankly, as having you here. I don't want to do that. Let me just say, as we get started today, the world is a lot more interesting with you in it, with you a part of it, and being around you is something I look forward to. I miss a world right now that has hugs. I know that our preschool teachers are probably missing the hugs of their little ones, their preschoolers. I know that Pastor Kishnick's been mentioning he's missing the hugs of his grandkids. I'm missing the hugs that come from some of you. These are things that I miss. And I know that a world without them is not what I want to continue. It has to change. Things are not going to stay this way, thank goodness. I think the world also is a lot meaningful if we are meeting in person where we can hold the hands of our loved ones, of our moms, our elderly, for example, who right now, some of them are alone. They've been without us too long already. It's more meaningful and more important that we could be with them. So I think the truly cruelest part of this virus and of this time is being separated. I think that's the worst part of it all, having the fear that if I get too close, I might hurt someone that I love. That's the stuff that I want to do again. But folks, the promise this morning, it's Easter. The promise this morning is that it's not going to stay this way. And I am already planning on a time when I get to be with you, and I am eager for that, and I hope you are too. In John chapter 20, verses 13 through 18, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary and the other women had been preparing spices for Jesus' tomb. They wanted to anoint his body again on Easter Sunday. But one of the things that's kind of fun, and maybe some of us miss that, is on the Sabbath, they kind of violate the separation thing. They go to the tomb and they spy it out. Now, the tomb was probably not hard to find because it held the most famous person in Jerusalem during this time. And the city, being as full as it was probably abuzz with discussion of what happened on Good Friday and what happened to Jesus. And, of course, the guards in front of the tomb, well, that would make it pretty easy to spot. It would be hard to miss, right? But they certainly miss the Lord. They miss Jesus. And their minds are still kind of whirling. Maybe the guards will understand. Maybe they'll get it. That we need to see Jesus one more time. That we need to just have one more moment with him. And suddenly it occurs to them, and they're thinking along the way, you know, who's going to roll away the stone? Mary, you're not strong enough. Jonah, you're not strong enough. You're just not that strong. And so it doesn't occur to them on the way, how's that going to work? And they sort of forget in their grief that it was not going to stay this way because Jesus made a promise that he'd rise again. The fact is that you would see Jesus again. The fact is that you would not see him on a stone slab, dead, wrapped in cloths, but that he would be alive and well and probably ready to give a hug. And so we come to it today. After the disciples leave this empty tomb, as the excitement begins to build, they're wondering where the body has gone. And you can see the irrationality of the morning. Where is Jesus at? In the midst of all of this, Mary's weeping at the tomb after the disciples have left. They've looked at the strips of linen, the cloth folded up by itself, but they don't get it yet. And as Mary weeps, she looks in and then she sees two angels sitting there in white. One that, and it's sitting where Jesus' body used to be, by the way. And you notice something. It's important that you notice this. One is sitting at the head, and one is sitting at the foot. Now, there's two things that are going on with Mary's experience here that I want to digest today a little bit and notice. Because as we see these angels sitting at the head and the foot, let's talk about those guys first. Something is going on here. It should remind us immediately of the Old Testament. Go all the way back to Exodus chapter 25. Go back to the Ark of the Covenant where Moses is given the instructions of that Ark. The Ark was a foot and a half wide and a foot and a half deep and 3 feet wide. It was a box. And it was covered with gold, and its purpose was to hold the presence of God. The top of it was called the Kippureth. It's where we get the name Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The one day of the year when the high priest was to go into the Lord's presence with sacrifice for the sins of the people and sprinkle the blood on the ark. This Kippureth, this mercy seat, as Luther coined it, was really the throne of God. It was where his presence was between the cherubim. And there he sat amongst his people, and in the throne room was the Holy of Holies. Unfortunately, this Holy of Holies was separated by a curtain, and nobody could get in there because such a holy presence could not, it was there to protect the sinners, the people of Israel, from that holiness, because sin and holiness don't go together. They can't last. So this Holy of Holies, the ark is kept there in this inner part of the temple. Inside the ark, the commandments. The commandments of the Lord were there, and these commandments were the identity of Israel. Unfortunately, because of sin and the fallen humanity that we have, they couldn't keep that covenant. Their identity was lost. And as human beings today, we know we can't keep God's law either. We just manage to break it all the time. In the end, humanity is more than just socially distant from God because of sin. We are spiritually and utterly severed, cut off from God. That's what the law says. We can't keep it, and therefore, it can't save us. And so the Messiah was promised. The Messiah was brought into the world. And let's fast forward now to John 1. Go to the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Not some distant room, not cut off from the people, but in the flesh amongst his people. God with us, no longer separated. No longer are we severed from him. And as we see Jesus here, he comes into the world. Jesus is born into humanity, and with him the divine is no longer separated from his creation. He doesn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And we see here the high priest, he being the high priest of himself, sacrificing himself as that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world on Good Friday. It makes it all possible that we are no longer severed or separated, but communion, together in fellowship and communion. And so we see our sins utterly forgiven and the separation removed. And what happens when he dies? That throne room now becomes irrelevant. The curtain rips from top to bottom, symbolizing that separation is over. Now we have complete and total access to God. Now go back to those angels. Those angels are standing there, sitting on the slab, rather, at the head and the foot. But there is no Jesus in between him. There is no dead body there. There is no dead soul. There is nothing dead in between them, but it's absent. It's empty. And Jesus is alive, and God's law is fulfilled, and the covenant is established. And so it is a good question. Woman, why are you crying? It's such a wondrous day. Jesus has risen just as he promised, right? And so we see something wonderful happening. You're looking in the wrong direction, Mary. Things are changing. And so we look at it here. That brings us to our second thought this morning. You know, Mary's encounter with Jesus. If we look at this, Jesus himself was not the way he was. He didn't look like Rocky Balboa after 15 rounds with Apollo Creed. He wasn't beaten and bruised at this point. He didn't look like a crucified Christ. He looked like a gardener at this point. And verse 14 tells us, she turned around and saw Jesus, but she did not recognize him. Well, she isn't looking for that Jesus. She's looking for a wounded, dead Jesus. And certainly this would fit. You've got to give her a little break here because you can kind of sense the whiplash of the day, the whole mindset shifting here, the irrationality of it. She's looking for a dead Jesus. Who are these guys in the tomb anyway? I know they're angels, but who is this guy, the gardener? And why would he carry off Jesus' body? Why would he do that? I'll go get him. She sees the stone rolled away. She certainly sees the strips of linen that the disciples saw. She sees the burial cloth that was once over his head folded up by itself, a little clue. And she certainly smells the overwhelming scent of all of these spices that were left there on Good Friday and maybe even hers. Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where he is and I will get him. Mary's mind is still stuck in funeral mode. She's still looking for a dead body, even though the clues are telling her everything has changed. And so it goes forward. Won't that be hard for us when you think about it? Won't that be difficult for us in the months to come? I mean, we're not unaffected by things either. Our minds may be stuck in virus mode. we might be stuck in a sort of PTSD for some time to come. And I hope we overcome it quickly. The question is already, when will this country get back to work? Should I ever shake hands again, frankly, or give someone a hug? Is it too soon to hug my grandkids? Is it too soon to hug my elderly parent? Because I don't know if I might still hurt them. Do I trust the medications of COVID-19 that are there to help us? It's not just virus mode, but it's what happens when our minds are struck by betrayals and divorces and job losses and cancer recovery and abuse and you name it. There's always a lingering mindset with such dramatic things that keep us lingering, that keep us stuck on Good Friday mode, if you will. And our Lord does not want our minds to be stuck in this world. He wants us instead to shift. And you see in Mary just a perfect example of how difficult sometimes it is to shift. And we see instead what God wants us to see, the eternal life that he puts before us, eternal life. That's what the resurrection is designed to move us towards. She says, and it's sort of interesting, you look at her, she sees those angels, but she stays sort of socially distant from them. I don't know who these guys are, really. And then she sees Jesus, but she doesn't realize who she is, but she doesn't get too close until she realizes who she's talking to. And then again, all of that changes. The distance is closed. And so again, Savior and his people are brought back together. And that's what we're after. Finally, Jesus calls out her name, Mary. Not on a telephone, not on Zoom, not on FaceTime, not on YouTube. Right there in person. And everything changed. Verse 16 says she turned toward him as if she's not really making eye contact. She turned toward him and she cries out, Rabboni, which means teacher. Now you can imagine she's not just crying out, she's running to him at this point. And we see this wonderful thing. The NIV says what happens next is Jesus says, do not hold on to me. I think it's more along the lines of stop clinging to me, it's really me. She can't believe it. Do you think there were hugs? I believe that there were a few. I know that's probably the way I would respond. Jesus, it's you. And I'm sure that's the greeting we'll get once we get into heaven. I'm thinking that's Jesus' reaction too. And then, of course, did she touch the nail marks? Well, why not? When you think about it, these were the identifying marks of our Lord Jesus. I mentioned this in a daily devotion I did recently. When you look into heaven, the only wounds you're ever going to see in heaven are the ones on Jesus' hands and feet and his side. These are his identifying wounds. These are the wounds that the disciples saw, the disciples like Thomas had touched and interacted with. These are the identifying marks that say we are redeemed. And so it is discovering this resurrected Jesus. All Mary needed to do was run back. That's all she could. All this energy, now she's excited. She could have run to Rome and not gotten tired. And then she goes to the disciples and she shares the good news. I've seen the Lord. The tomb is empty. It's no longer the tomb that's the centerpiece, by the way. It's Jesus. It's no longer a missing body, but a living Savior. The message is completely changed. It's different. It's not going to stay this way. And it didn't. And so it is, her mourning is turned to joy. Has the virus changed us? Significant things usually do. A significant thing may be defined as something that is seriously disrupting our lives. Check. It's done that. It changes the direction of our lives for some of us. Check. Maybe there are other things that define us. Not just viruses, but how about the blessings too? How about something like birthdays, getting married? How about anniversaries? How about a trip of a lifetime? How about experiencing things that are extremely rare? How about the most wonderful things that come along in every day? How about a simple thing like having a job, getting your first job, 30 days sober? How about the other side of that too, the struggles we have? How about the loss of a loved one at 20 months or 23 years or having a 99-year-old mother who loved donuts? These are all significant parts of our lives, and they all have an impact on us. but as we look at these things also can be a blessing to us. God can do that with crucifixions. He can do that. He can turn them into resurrections. He can turn things around. He takes death and he turns it into life. And so those significant things, the most significant thing of all, comes to us in faith, comes to us in Jesus on Easter Sunday. Now, wonderfully, when we look at the disciples, when we look at Mary, we learn something about ourselves. As we look at this, the greatest deal here, the big deal, if you will, is Jesus. And this is something they learn. A good paying job, sports scholarships, the life we knew, folks, it can be taken away in moments. It's fragile. There's nothing fixed about it. The disciples discovered that hiding behind locked doors for fear of whatever is not the safest place to be. You see, here's the first lesson. The safest place to be is with Jesus. It always was, always will be. We've been socially distant before. We're not always on our best behavior, right? We find ways to avoid responsibility. Sometimes we avoid forgiving others. Maybe those that make us uncomfortable in some form because they're beggars, because they're wounded, because they're grumpy. Maybe we try to distance ourselves from such things. But that's not what Jesus does. He doesn't avoid such people. He seeks them out. Those who may be sick, he's come that we may have life and have it in full. And so it is, the news comes to Jesus and Mary and to the disciples, or rather the disciples, and Jesus came to bring us healing. He is, after all, the divine physician. He came not for the healthy, but for the sick. We're all that way. Folks, at some point, life is always a risk. Everything we do, we take a risk. Whether it's developing a relationship or just going out in the morning, we're taking a risk. And so it is that we have another virus. There'll be another downturn. There'll be another breakdown. There'll be another thing that tempts us to sin. There'll be another failure. There'll be another good thing that comes along too. But the world is always a place of risk. There's nothing we can lock ourselves behind, nothing we can secure ourselves with that will make us safer than what Jesus has done through faith in the resurrection. Jesus says in Matthew 6:20-21, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves cannot steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be." And he also says, seek first the kingdom and everything else will be added to you. What is the kingdom but Jesus? He's the center of it. Another thing, we look here, you know, we realize that status quo is something Jesus doesn't let stand for too long. The disciples learn that going fishing again afterwards, for example, is not really what they've been called to do. Not what's familiar and comfortable, but something new, to be fishers of men. Simply just staying with the status quo or getting past this so that we get back to the way things were, maybe that's not what this is about. Maybe there's something more along the lines that maybe we can appreciate our families a little deeper. Maybe we can appreciate hugs a little more. Maybe we can celebrate those times just a little bit more with one another. And maybe we can appreciate the fact that the jobs are a blessing and family is a blessing and church worship is a blessing. To be able to be with one another in fellowship. You see, the resurrection is by design meant to unsettle us here in this world. To again, move our mindset off the world and into eternal life. To keep us focused not on the status quo of the world, but on what Jesus is bringing to us and what the opportunities are as we love our neighbors, for example. It's not just about trying to avoid boredom. It's about gaining something, about being more than we are or more than we were yesterday. A transformation from weeping at the tomb to someone who's running and telling everybody that Jesus is alive. That's what Easter is about. We are part of something bigger already. We didn't need to separate ourselves. We don't need a virus to unite us. We already have the faith in Jesus. We have the body of Christ that we are all part of, and we are called to something bigger already. There is nothing greater than communicating the love of Jesus, nothing greater than, guess what? Jesus wants you to be with him, not separated. And finally, there is the disciples. They discover this best thing of all. It's really, It's always been about being close to Jesus. It's always been that. Jesus prefers a world that welcomes little children for a blessing. Jesus prefers a world that where no one eats alone. I mean, when you describe heaven, it's a wedding feast where everybody gathers at a table. Nobody's there alone. And as we look at it here, Jesus prefers a world with hugs and kisses and interaction. He prefers a world where we are close and where we greet one another in love. Jesus prefers a world where no one dies and viruses can't get a foothold in our lives and disrupt things. He prefers a world without fear and where distance is not an issue. He prefers that, and he's given it to us, a world without pandemics. Today we are reminded, more than any other day, that it's just not going to stay this way. Good things are yet to come. Because Jesus is risen, he has promised that the best is yet to come. And so we celebrate today, even at home, and next year we'll do it together, God willing. But the one thing we can say today is that Jesus' name can be praised. We can say together with confidence and with the reassurance, Jesus is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen. And now may the Lord, whose wisdom surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Hello, this is Pastor Matthew Woods from Grace Lutheran Church here in New Albany, Indiana. And I want to say thank you for joining us here at the Spirit of Grace and our broadcast each week here from Grace Lutheran Church. I'm grateful that we've been able to worship with you and to fellowship with you in this way. As we look ahead, we are always grateful for the means that technology offers. And so it has been our prayer and our consideration because of circumstances here of late that we are considering a new course for our ministry of Grace, that we will be now turning towards an online presence. I'm sorry to say that means that we will be ending our radio broadcasts at the end of our contract in June, and we will be moving our attention to the online, to our webpage at glcna.com. Again, that's glcn, N as in Nancy, A as in Albert.com. We hope you can join us there, or perhaps even our Facebook page for future broadcasts after June. But again, we pray that the Lord would bless you, and we pray that you continue to be able to find us on those websites, and that you'd be able to tune in and be blessed to join us in our worship together. In the meantime, the Lord be with you and give you his peace. Thank you for being with us.
God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, who sent his Son as my Savior to arise Easter morning. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died on Good Friday, rose again on Easter morning to free me from the curse of sin and the sting of death and the power of the devil. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in the Christ of Easter, and by whose bright in my heart I am ever led to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of my resurrected Lord. Amen. You know, at this time we usually take the offering when we're together. And a reminder again that that offering is a gift that we give to the Lord, always in thanksgiving for what he has done. And so we would remind you that those offerings are something that you can still give to the Lord. You can either mail them into church, or you can get the app, go to the church website, and you'll find a tutorial on how to do that. But we continue to receive those gifts because the Lord has given us so much. Would you join me then as we pray? Dearest Lord Jesus, how we laud and praise you on this day for your glorious victory over death and the grave. What hope you give us. What joy is ours. Grant that this joy may always be ours, that our faith in you may never waver, and that our witness may always be centered on your sacrificial death and your Easter rising. Give us a full measure of your Spirit, that we may ever walk in your ways, blessed to be blessings to others. Praise and glory ever be to your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Compassionate Lord, as you were moved to help and heal those who came to you in your earthly ministry, may your heart also be moved to touch and assist those that we list before you this morning. We pray for the family and the friends of Reverend Parker Knoll, who was pastor at Concordia in Louisville from 1988 to 1995. We pray also for the family and friends of Nabi Bostock. And we pray also for the family and friends of Jim Dial. All three of these were claimed by COVID-19. We lift up to you their families and pray that their hearts might be turned towards you and that they might find in your word, in your promise, the comfort that only you can give. We pray that you'd give that same hope and comfort to Katie Tarr and her family and the family of her boyfriend, Wyatt Williamson, who died of natural causes at only age 23. We pray, Father, that you would give all those who mourn strength to meet the days ahead with trust and with healing. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we pray also for those who are ill or hurting. We pray this morning especially for Jim Higgs, for Sonny Kraft and Janet Keener, for Ron Belden and Jan Zwald, for Jennifer and Hannah Paterka, for Teresa Dunlap, Arnetta Owen, for Dennis Hawkins and James Hill, for Jim Baumgart and Jim Ferber, Santana Worth, Tony Arms, Elise Lyon, Harold Clapple, and all the others that we might lift up before you now in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you'd grant to them your help, and that you'd grant to them your healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of the nations, we pray for all the medical and hospital personnel, for first responders, for our military men and women, for our government leaders and medical researchers, the unemployed and all those afflicted and affected by the coronavirus crisis. We pray, Lord, that you would pour out your mercy, your protection and your wisdom here and abroad, and that altogether we might give you thanks and praise for your deliverance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, these things and all things we lift up before your throne, trusting in your mercy through our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give to all of you his peace. Amen. We finish our service this morning with "What a Beautiful Name."
Death could not hold you, the veil torn before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You
stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Jesus.
Wow. What a powerful name it is. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We just want to wish you, to all of you, a happy Easter. Would remind you that this week there will be daily devotions, Monday through Friday, and our Saturday review. And we will meet again in the same way, 8 and 10:30 next week. I would remind you also that today at 10:30 we'll have another service. It'll be different than this one was, and I'll be preaching that service. So in the meantime, God's blessings to you and your family. We're separated only by time and distance, but we have Jesus Christ in our heart, and that unites us all. Pastor?
Yeah, as we end things today, I would invite you to hang on just a little longer for our postlude with the trumpet. So the Lord be with you.
God be with you all. A happy Easter.